Welcome to episode 12 of the STR Gamer Podcast. My name is Brian.
I'm Sam.
And it's Sunday.
Sunday.
I have an idea.
Oh.
You know, what is it?
Now you have an idea.
No, this is a different idea. So there's a show, Deadliest Warrior, right? That just came out with a video game out.
Yeah.
What if they did that for, like, cultural norms in our time? Like, hipsters...
This is back to your hipster paradigm.
Yes, hipsters versus, like, soccer hooligans or something.
Oh, Jesus
Christ.
How
awesome would that be? Like, the hipster would throw Ray-Bans at people, and the soccer hooligans would... I don't know, wear jerseys. I don't know what they do.
You are basically a soccer hooligan. You should know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, all right, name one other cultural group. Jocks, I guess.
Yeah, jocks. Yeah. Jocks would be good. Nerds. Us.
I'm afraid we fall into the former category. that's a fabulously stupid idea. So I like it. Sounds totally like a web game.
Yeah, I mean, but Deadliest Warrior itself isn't that great either. I mean, the show is kind of interesting, though, the historical takes it on, but I don't really take stock in a lot of the stuff that they say that are, like, winners.
That's because you're not an idiot. Well, did you watch the Giant Bomb Quick Look of that game?
I saw a little bit of it.
It's insane.
Does it look bad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then Jeff and Ryan play multiplayer, and it's hilarious.
Speaking of bad, you know what else we were talking about earlier was Call of Juarez?
Oh, yeah. You mean, when you say earlier, you mean yesterday.
Yeah. That game looks terrible.
Oh, God.
Which is too bad, because it seems like it has a lot of potential.
Well, you know, there's, you know, even I was watching the Giant Bomb Quick Look again. This podcast is sponsored by Giant Bomb. Even Jeff was saying, you know, there's some really interesting ideas in here, but it's so badly executed. You know, Brad is swimming around because the controls are so floaty, and he's just kind of roaming around. You know, he tries to go up to a window and, like, peek out, except instead of, you know, going up to the side of the window, he goes right into the front of the window and gets shot. It's, man, like, it's just,
Yeah, I was reading the Anthony's review. Anthony Gallegos at IGN, and he was just, like, talking about how it's just really hard to care about any of the characters because, like, they're just very blah. And I'm like, this type of setting is so awesome. I mean, the not only sort of the Western, you know, setting, but Central South American and the whole cartel.
The drug war thing.
Yeah, the drug war thing. Like, it's a very, I mean, drug war is not cool. Like, let me get that straight. Yeah. But I mean, the whole setting for a game is just very cool, it seems like.
There's a lot of really cool elements, you know. Seemed like if they had spent some real time thinking about it, it could have been a real winner. I mean, yeah. I played the last game in the series, which was set in the Old West, and that was cool. The gameplay was good, but more importantly, the story was interesting. And that's one of the things that I feel like they really lost the thread on for this game. So,
now they've got the gold standard of Red Dead to.
Yeah, well, that is unfortunate, and this game being, you know, updated to for the modern setting feels like an overreaction to Red Dead.
Really,
you know, where they were like, oh shit, Red Dead is coming out. We can't do another Western game. We can't compete with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, yeah, but it's a totally different type of Western game. It's okay for there to be multiple Western games, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But it made for entertaining video.
Well, that's something at least.
Yeah.
So, what have you been playing this week?
Oh, right. So I've been playing a lot of Team Fortress 2.
Really?
Yeah.
This went free to play.
Yeah, it went free to play a couple months ago. And yeah, it is still very much the game I remember from years and years ago. It's still good. I won't say I love it. There are aspects of it I really like. There aren't enough loot drops for me. But still, it makes it really cool when you do get something. You're like, oh, cool, I can equip this on this class that I never play, and then maybe I'll play that class.
Now, we should clarify that you're playing on the PC, the working version.
Right, exactly. the one that's been updated, you know, umpteen million times, you know, unlike the Xbox 360 version. And it's really super rad. It's a little too metagamey with the microtransactions. You know, I was playing and I found a supply box. And supply boxes can only be opened by keys, which you can only buy from the online store.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah. And, I mean, it tells you, it's like, this is going to have one of these, you know, unique items or this or a super rare item. And it's like, okay. And it wouldn't bother me so much if it was 99 cents, but it's $2.49, which is significant. For the key to open the crate.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah, so...
For one key.
Huh. So a little, that was a little annoying, but let's face it, I bought it anyway, because I was like, I want what's in this crate!
You can buy it right there?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's all built into the game, so...
Yeah.
And it got me a stupid grenade launcher, which I never use because it's stupid, so... Anyway, but there's a whole crafting system, and I've already I've gotten drops of hats and things like that, which is... I gotta be honest, super fucking cool. And because I've had the game for so long, I get a veteran badge, you know, which allows me, you know, which says, hey, you've been playing ever since 2007.
Nice.
When there's all these noobs running around with mercenary badges, they're like, you've been playing since 2011. And it's like, haha, you guys suck. Stop sniping me in the face. I'm really having a lot of fun with it. It's sort of a wild and wacky, you know, first person experience, you know, unlike Call of Duty, which is so bro-y and serious.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably continue playing this until COD Blops The Reckoning 2 or whatever the hell the new Call of Duty is called comes out later this year.
Modern Warfare 3.
That's easier. that's been fun. I've probably spent 20 or 30 hours this week playing that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think I played most of Thursday. I also played some Bastion. I got past the demo part of the game. And that game is really super rad. It's really, really well done. It's interesting because there, as of a couple days ago, there were 44,000 people on the leaderboards for that game. And I really want that game to do better than that. You know, it's one of the terrible things about the 360 and its standardized, you know, achievements and all that sort of, and leaderboards and all that kind of stuff is that everybody knows, hey, this is exactly what you sold for this game. And, cause it's not like you can buy it without having it be online. Hopefully that those guys will get to 200,000, and you know, we'll see some real traction for those guys.
Hopefully. I mean, it seems like it's getting a really good marketing push with the Summer of Arcade.
Yeah, well, that's a huge, huge thing for that.
Yeah, and it's a very, very eye-catchy game. I mean, it's a... I played through the demo a couple of times, and I really can't wait to play the full game. It's just very, very cool.
I'm excited. You haven't heard anywhere how long it is, right?
No, I haven't. I would expect it's about like a relatively long for a downloadable game.
It seems like it, you know, because people aren't saying, well, it's 4 hours of fun. You know, I think it's probably more like 10 or something like that.
That's so, my sense of it too.
So that's cool. And there's a significant new game plus aspect to it as well. So, it is funny because on the leaderboards, Brad Shoemaker from Giant Bomb was number one on all the leaderboards and is. It still is on three of them because it's completely by whoever, like there's a certain maximum you can get on the leaderboards, and Brad got there first, and there's no other way to rank it below that, so he will be first on that list forever.
Right.
And so the Supergiant Games guys who made Bastion were on Giant Bomb's Thursday Night Throwdown playing Red Alert 3 this week because they were originally on the EA LA team that made that. And Ryan Davis, he said, so is Brad just going to be number one on that list for forever? And Greg Kasavin was like, yeah, pretty much. and immediately you hear from off camera, like, woo! Awesome. From Brad.
That's awesome.
So that's pretty funny.
That's awesome. It's also like talking about Greg Kasavin and the Supergiant Games guys, like, we don't know them personally, but they seem like really cool guys. Like,
yeah.
I've been reading Greg Kasavin's work since he worked at GameStop like years
GameSpot.
Ago. Yeah, exactly. GameSpot, like I've been confusing those names for just as long.
And you will continue.
But a really long time. It's just really, really great to see them push out a really high quality game.
Yeah.
But like you said, I really would like it to do well too, so they can make another game. You know?
Yeah.
And also just feel like they've done well.
Yeah, I mean, they've given over most of their last 2 years to this game.
Yeah.
You really want them to be able to point to it and say, like, hey. I mean, I don't think they'll have any problems. I think they'll, even if they don't make enough money to set themselves up for this, they won't have any trouble getting financing to do their next game.
Sure,
think.
Yeah.
This people in the know will appreciate that game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, other than that, played a lot of Rock Band last night because I had a Rock Band party, and that was super fun. They've added some 80s classics like A Little Respect by Erasure.
Oh my god, so good. Is that the only Erasure?
That is the only Erasure they have, yeah. Because really, what more Erasure do you need?
I mean, Au L'Amour.
What?
Take a Chance on Me.
Is that by Erasure?
Well, ABBA did it, and then Erasure did it.
Then, okay.
It's good. It's a good version of it.
Whatever. Anyway, Scrubs famously described A Little Respect as that song that you can't get out of your head once it's in there, and it just transmits like a virus. And that pretty much happened to me all last night.
Pretty good.
But yeah, it was super fun.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
No iPad games?
No, I deleted Tiny Tower from my iPad because I realized that I was a hamster on a treadmill. And so I deleted that and deleted some other things, cleaned up some things. I played some more baseball, but that's just a time killer.
Okay.
Every time I play it, I think to myself, this isn't actually productive. You should be doing something else. And then I play another two games. So, yay.
Which are more productive?
Shit. What have you been playing?
Let's see. I finished Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops.
Yeah.
Which was a lot easier than I thought it would be. I had to refer to a couple of like online walkthroughs and stuff to just figure out what the hell was going on with a couple of things. But the actual gameplay of it seemed to be a lot easier. And also I had to like go back to Wikipedia and like re-understand like everything that's going on in the series since it's so complicated. So I finished that, and it's actually really, really awesome. I mean, it turns out really well. It's very exciting. And I promptly went online and bought Metal Gear Solid 4.
Nice.
Not chronologically, but in the chronology of the when the games came out, the sequence of when they came out, that's the next one. I also bought a bunch more PSP games while I was on
Amazon. I saw that. You're an idiot.
Yeah. Well, the original impetus to go on Amazon was that they were having a sale on Scott Pilgrim vs. the World on Blu-ray and DVD for $9. So I was like, dude, I got to get this and everything else that I see while I'm shopping.
Terrible.
So,
so what did you get?
So I got Jeanne d'Arc. It's just like a strategy RPG.
Kind of, yeah.
Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I got Sid Meier's Pirates.
Nice. Is that on PSP?
Yeah. Have you ever played that game?
Yes.
I haven't ever played it for
the original. It's super rad.
I'm excited. It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's a new one. It's like a pretty faithful port of the game.
Nice.
So I'm interested to... I'm super excited because I haven't ever played that game. So.
That game is... I mean, this is the remake, which is super good. The original is classic, but...
It's kind of clunky.
Old school. Yeah, it's super old school. Cool. Anything else?
What else? I bought four games. Those are two of them. And I also got... Dungeon Siege for the PSP.
That's gonna suck.
It's supposed to be like not great, but like after all of this, like Dungeon Siege 3, I've been looking at Dungeon Siege 2, and I'm like, do I really want to go back? And I'm like, no. But for some reason, I was like, I just can't deal with the graphics and like the jank of Dungeon Siege on a PC right now. But I was like, but I could deal with it on a PSP.
funny how the system sets your expectations.
So it was, but it's supposed to be, like, for what it is, it's supposed to be all right. So
yeah.
I'm just checking out. And,
Is it a port of the original Dungeon Siege?
No, it's a new game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it? Because I could see the Dungeon Siege 2 system, like, character progression system, and the way that game worked, you could adapt that for use on a handheld pretty easily. I bet that's what they did.
Most likely. Yeah. I don't know if they use the same engine or what, but it's supposedly it's fair. I mean, there was a couple of the games looking at, like, Dungeons and Dragons Tactics. Yeah. That's supposed to be terrible.
Yeah.
But apparently very, very well if you're into, 3.5 rule set, which I am, but I decided to, not pick it up. There's something else that I picked up.
Garbage.
Luminous 2.
They made it 2?
Yeah. Luminous 2. So, And I also downloaded a bunch of demos for PSP. So I've been kind of playing through those, like some Locorocos and the new God of War, Ghost of Sparta.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, after I played the Chains of Olympus demo, I was like, okay, I'm going to check out Ghost of Sparta. I was like, this looks beautiful. It's a God of War game.
Yeah.
Pretty much all that's going on in it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, and also the Siphon Filter games are supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
For those, for that system.
Wasn't the original Siphon Filter game a sniper simulator?
It was like a stealth simulator. Yeah. I mean, I think there were sniping elements. I remember playing it for the PS2, but this one is more of a action-adventure stealth game. It's like a third-person shooter. It's like a demo. Like, I've just been interested to see, what people like about it so much, because those games got rave reviews when they came out.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of other demos. Then I've been playing, played some LOTRO.
Nice.
Lord of the Rings Online, getting sort of excited for the...
When does the expansion come out?
Expansion, I think... the betas are starting now, or around now. The beta for Rise of Isengard is starting soon, and then I think it comes out in August or September.
Okay.
You know, so I've been trying to get back into that to get ready for the expansion.
Yeah.
played some... Oh, so I played the Bastion Gem, like I mentioned, and then I also played Catherine, the Catherine demo.
Oh, yeah.
That game is weird.
Yeah.
I thought I would like that game. It's just a demo, obviously, but I thought I would be more interested in that game than I am. Because I'm totally into the Japanese aesthetic. I'm into anime. I'm into, the mature themes and stuff. And I thought the puzzling element would be cool, since I also started playing the original Luminous, to understand it for, just the idea of it for Luminous 2. And not so much. It didn't grab me. Before playing the demo, I was like, I could maybe pick this up or, get it on Gamefly or something. And now that I played the demo, I'm like, I really have no interest in this.
There you go.
So that's something.
That's something. It's not going to sell very well in the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, people seem to be really into it. I mean, I've been seeing on Twitter, a lot of people seem to really like it.
Yeah, but that's perception bias. That's because of who you follow on Twitter.
Yeah,
definitely. It's a games journalist and developer kind of game.
Yeah.
It's not the general populace. It'll be lucky to sell Shadows of the Damned numbers. I mean...
Speaking of numbers, I mean, it reminds me of a very niche game like Demon's Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about Demon's Souls numbers?
That did pretty well, actually. Low six figures, mm-hmm. A couple hundred, 300,000.
But I don't think Catherine will do that well.
No, definitely not. I mean, Shadows of the Damned sold 25,000 copies its first month, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see... It's just too impenetrable. Even for game fans, let alone the general public.
Well, it does ask a lot of the player. I mean, Demon's Souls is just really freaking hard.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at least there's something to sort of hold on to there. Like, Catherine, I feel like... The story parts seem to be really interesting, but the parts that I played in terms of the block puzzle, I was like, this is cool, but it just didn't grab me. I don't know. Maybe if you're really into Qbert or whatever, you might be into that part of it, but...
I don't think so.
It's supposed to be really hard, too.
Yeah. I think if you're into Qbert, you're not into impenetrable Japanese RPGs.
You never know. There's got to be some crossover.
There is probably, yeah. Just like any, you search for anything, there's porn of it. There's probably, Qbert porn.
Yes, and people who are
complete with sound effects. You
people who are into that are also another cultural stereotype.
Yes, you can totally be. Yeah, the internet porn dudes.
I was talking about Qbert, but yeah.
I'm talking about porn. Goddammit.
You always are.
That's true.
The internet is for porn.
Totally.
Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Oh, nice,
dude. That game is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started playing that this week. Super loving it. It's just... I mean, I loved Assassin's Creed 2, And you've been playing it.
I was before I stopped.
That's true. Yeah, it's just like... Everything everyone has ever said about that game is true. It's just... It's takes what was awesome about the second one, makes it better, and it's just, it's really fun. There's, it feels like, it feels comfortable, but not more of the same, if that makes sense. Like, I played Assassin's Creed 2, like, right before Brotherhood came out, and I didn't want to get it, because I was like, okay, I just played through this whole game, but that's not really an issue. Like, it feels, you know, richer, like, more rich enough that that it just feels like an awesome game.
Does it make you super excited for Revelations?
Completely.
Yeah.
Really excited. Because, I mean, if they've perfected the... Well, if they've refined their game in a leap as much as Assassin's Creed Brotherhood did for Assassin's Creed 2, that would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
If they haven't, and it's just the same sort of mechanics in a different setting in Constantinople... That's awesome.
That's okay, too.
Yeah. So.
All right, cool.
I'm very hopeful for that game.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Get it on 360 so we can play multiplayer.
Okay. I guess. We'll see.
So what's... What's our topic for the week?
Oh, God. So our topic this week is Comic-Con. We were hoping for inspiration to strike as soon as we said those words.
Comic-Con.
Comic-Con. Say it with me now. Comic-Con. Yeah, hey, Comic-Con has been going on this week. It's been crazy.
As usual.
Yeah, as usual, but, you know, really seeing even more. I mean, Gears of War 3 has a panel at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You know,
that's insane.
It is kind of insane. I mean, it's almost a subversion. You know, obviously Comic-Con is filled with... I was about to say GURKS, which is a combination of nerds and geeks, but that was not what I meant to say.
They can also be on our
GURKS
Warrior.
Yeah, exactly. Nerds versus GURKS. And so it's clearly a classic nerd convention, but I just feel like, I mean, I guess if you're a marketing manager for a major property like Gears of War, you have to do your best to be at Comic-Con. Even though the people who are really interested in... Well, maybe that's why. The people who are really interested in Gears of War are already going to be at PAX.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So you're going to have a big presence there. You go to Comic-Con, you're going to get people who are maybe already inclined and might like it, but don't necessarily know about it. So that's why you go to Comic-Con. But it just seems... I mean, Comic-Con is too damn big. The rent is too damn high.
Yeah.
It just... There's so much stuff going on. I mean, there's Firefly panels, there's Star Wars panels, there's Geek Girl panels, there's, you know, Gears of War panels, there's all this fucking shit that
and
is...
And there's comic book panels.
Right, and then there's all the goddamn comic book stuff.
No, I mean, there's a ton of Magic stuff going on, too.
Yeah, well...
I mean, Magic has their own... And I mean, Comic-Con obviously, like, has always had a lot of different influences in terms of Star Trek or,
sure.
You know, movies and all of these things, but I feel like... In the past, video games have been a little bit more on the periphery than they are now.
Absolutely, yeah. They seem to be a big deal this year.
I mean, some developers are making announcements at Comic-Con.
Right.
You know, and pretty big ones. Like, Star Wars The Old Republic got announced. Like, its Collector's Edition got announced. And some talk about betas that will be happening in September.
Right.
And the possibility of it coming out this year.
Yeah, and they announced the Star Wars 360.
Yeah.
And R2-D2 360.
That's huge.
I mean... It's insane.
I mean, it is literally always convention season.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for video games.
It's exhausting.
Even things like GDC, which have historically been more sort of, just by its name, like more
developer focused, yeah.
Like are now, you know, being used as more media type events to some extent.
Much to the chagrin of the developers, but that's
and to
sort of,
E3, because it's like,
yeah, well,
this used to be our gig.
Well, E3 is doing fine, you know.
It is now. So. It is now. I mean.
Yeah, it is crazy, this 24/7, 365 cycle. You know, I can, and people talk about the 24/7 news cycle like it's a bad thing, but hey, shit is happening 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But the 24/7, 365 promotion cycle is fucking exhausting. God damn.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been thinking about writing an article about that, like the sort of oversaturation of pre-launch media, you know, because I think it helps, you know, games obviously get there, but... for people who follow it very closely, like you and I, or the gaming press, or whatever, it can be a little bit like, okay, I understand this is your game. Like,
it's a little off-putting.
Yeah, it's like I want to play this now.
Yeah,
you know, which is what we were talking about before the podcast. That with Star Wars: The Old Republic, if they come out with that game this year, you know, what are the reasons for? Does that have anything to do with the delaying of Mass Effect, Mass Effect 3?
Yeah.
And if so, who made that decision and why? And is it, you know, because MMOs will be, you mentioned, will MMOs be doing better in the holiday season than, you know, console game or whatever? But, yeah. But I mean, one of the reasons I would think is that they can't prolong the release of this game at, you know, feeding people, you know, a news item a week about it. Like, people are going to get, people already have a sense of apathy around that game, but,
yeah.
But people are going to get even more, sort of uncaring about it the longer that its development cycle goes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I have to say, I looked very hard at the collector's edition of that game. I was like,
For $170 or how much it is?
Really? No.
What part of that would you really want?
I just want the box so I can put my penis in it. No, I, you know, it, you know, as I can tell, the $60 collector's limited whatever has got all the stuff you need in game, and so, you know, I don't need the fucking tin whatever and
yeah.
all that stuff.
The Darth Malgus statue.
Right, exactly.
Well, that does sound kind of cool.
Darth Malgus sounds like a bacterial infection.
Darth Malgus?
I'm sorry, you've got Darth Malgus. There's nothing we can do. I don't know, some people were taking pictures in front of the standee for Old Republic at I was about to say E3, but I meant Comic-Con. And it's got the same two dudes on the cover of it that we've seen in all the trailers. You know, it's the light side guy and the dark side guy. And it's like, I don't care about those characters. You know, somebody was talking about, I think I might play a bounty hunter because I really want a jetpack. And I was like, yeah, I want a jetpack too. You know, that's the kind of thing I can get down with.
And that's been the critique of all of the pre-rendered cutscenes that they've been, or the pre-rendered trailers that, I mean, they've come up with so many of them, and it's like, people are like, just show us the game. Like, that's all, you know, we're interested in, you know. And I gotta say, the closer to launch, which this happens with any MMO for me, like, the closer to launch, like, I get a little bit more interest in that game. Like, yeah. I'm interested to see how it pans out. I do want to play it. Like, I tweeted about this earlier that David Hayter has been, who's a voice of Solid Snake, so there's a connection there. He has been confirmed as a voice of Jedi. They just say Jedi Knight. I don't know, the Jedi Knight, a Jedi Knight. He's in the game somehow, which is kind
of
awesome.
Well, everything is fully voiced in that game, so there's a shit ton of people working in the game.
I mean, Nolan North is probably in it somewhere.
Yeah, he's probably voicing 16 characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is a game we would probably play anyway, but we kind of have to play just, you know, it's the new hotness of the MMO market. Until something else hits, that's... Giant Bomb is going to cover the end of Star Wars Galaxies, which happens on December 15th.
That'll be great.
And that's going to be...
They did it with The Matrix Online.
They did, and it's hilarious. Yeah. So, really, really super interesting to see what happens with those communities and where they go. And it would be, you know, if they were smart, and there's no real good way to do this, but if they were smart, they would be like, you know, you get some credit in the Old Republic for having played Star Wars Galaxies.
Yeah.
You know, you've spent 600 years playing Star Wars Galaxies, you should get something in the Old Republic.
I wonder how many hoops they'd have to go through to make SOE and EA, like, work together on that. You know?
Well, I mean, you would think that you could, the LucasArts connection could be like, you know, bang those heads together, like, just fucking, you know, just give us a list of email addresses that, you know, that have this criteria. They got that in the game. They get this in Old Republic.
That would
help them on a PR front so much.
I think so. I mean, especially because I can't remember who it was. John Smedley, maybe, at SOE,
mm-hmm.
was interviewed about it and asked why Star Wars Galaxies is shutting down the service, and he said something about, you know, their license of the intellectual property is running out, and they don't feel that they should, you know, sort of fight for it. And that makes total sense with the Old Republic coming out. So.
Totally. Yeah, LucasArts has moved on, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people playing Star Wars Galaxies, apparently. So, I mean, good for them. Like, I
bad for them.
Well, I mean, that's cool is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I hope that they do like the Old Republic and they move over.
Yeah, I mean, it's fabulous that they were able to get that much value out of a game that was just busted.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
And hopefully the Old Republic will, you know, will give them some sort of a similar value.
Yeah.
Any other Comic-Con stuff you can think of? Unbelievable numbers of cosplayers this year.
Unbelievable.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah. And good ones, too.
Yeah.
You see the Garrus
I didn't
costume?
See the Garrus one.
Dude, there's a... I don't know if he's the same guy at Comic-Con. I haven't seen that one. But there was a Garrus costume that came out, I'm going to say a couple of weeks ago. And it is unbelievable.
Wow.
It is incredible. Like, the dude looks like he's in the game.
Cool.
I don't know if he's the same guy that's in the
game. I mean, it's got to be, right?
It's got to be.
How many people Garrus cosplay, right?
I don't know, but they're also a subculture that we can...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a girl who I guess she's a community manager for the Tomb Raider games, but she is also a massive cosplayer. Like, she spends all this time working on her costumes. Uh-huh. So she unveiled her cosplay of Anya from Gears of War 3. And like Cliffy B hooked her up with a replica Lancer and shit.
Awesome.
Because, you know, she's like a known quantity in the cosplay community. So, you know, that such a strange culture, but, you know, there's a shit ton of people who do it. There's a girl who was cosplaying Lilu from Fifth Element.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Pretty fucking awesome.
What costume? Like,
can you guess?
The duct tape?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. She had the body for it, unlike some of the cosplayers.
Damn.
Well, let's be fair. Most of the cosplayers.
So there's also this other thing. Like, I didn't understand this, and I had to look it up. It's like a hipster thing. But
you keep using that phrase. I don't think it means what you think.
No,
it means.
I don't mean it was a hipster thing. I mean it was like understanding hipsters, understanding the subculture that is hipsters.
Okay, I get it.
They're called furries.
How do you not know? I don't know if it's better or worse that I do know about them and you did not, but all right.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. How do I put this? I understand what furries are.
Right.
I did not know that there was a subculture known as furries. I thought they were just people who cosplay as animals or something like that.
No, it's so much deeper than that.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
And now that's in your browser search history.
Awesome. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, do yourself a favor.
Go ahead and Google yiffing.
Yeah. Don't. Do not listen. Do not want.
Do not want. Yeah, that's one of the first or second season CSI episodes focused on furries.
Really?
Yeah, it's opened my eyes.
Ugh. Oh man.
Yeah.
What a weird thing to base it.
Give me a break. CSI, they have three different shows. They need all the fucking ideas they can get.
You know, with some intern or some, you know.
Could be, yeah.
Low-level guy who's like, okay, well, furries are really in now.
Right.
People will know this.
Well, this is. It introduced, most of the people who I've ever talked to about furry culture, which thankfully is a very small number of people, pretty much all of them learned about furries from that episode of CSI. It was a gigantic exposure.
Really?
For
the first place I saw it was Dork Tower, the internet strip cartoon by
webcomic
John Kavalik.
Kavalik, yeah.
Kavalik. And he had run a thing about it, and I forgot about it, and then he reran the same, you know, strip, and I was like, what? I don't understand this, you know, so.
Well, welcome to knowing about
that. Yes. I feel better knowing about it.
Hey.
But not really.
Yeah.
What else was on? I mean, there's been a ton of interesting panels at Comic-Con.
I mean, there hasn't been anything. I mean, I don't know if there were any. There were any panels today. I think there were, but I mean, all the major announcements that would have been made have been made, and there hasn't been anything earth-shattering. But you know, there were some cool things. You know, CM Punk, the new WrestleMania champ, stormed into a panel featuring his rival in a classic stage WWE event.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield, the new Spider-Man, did a cool thing where he went and stood in line to ask a question of the Spider-Man panel, like beforehand, dressed in like a cheapo Spider-Man costume with the hood on, so nobody could see him. And then he read a very nice letter about how important Spider-Man was to him. And then he went up and joined the panel. And it was just a super cool Comic-Con moment.
That's very cool.
Another guy went to a panel with Steven Spielberg wearing a t-shirt that said, "I would just really like to meet Mr. Spielberg and shake his hand and thank him for all the great things that he's done for us." And somebody saw that and got him to go and shake hands with Steven Spielberg.
That's
so it's
awesome.
A really cool picture of this super
cool
nerd wearing this t-shirt with this gigantic kind of like stunned look on his face shaking hands with Steven Spielberg.
That's
so
really amazing.
Comic-Con moment,
yeah, classic,
kind of thing.
Very,
yeah,
classic.
But yeah, other than that, there's an Avengers teaser at the end of Captain America, which
sure
is supposed to be good.
Spider-Man trailer came out, I think.
Yeah, that's right. The first trailer for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Looks like Spider-Man.
Yeah. Batman, I think
the teaser
for that. Yeah.
Yeah, really didn't see much of anything there.
There's a lot of... I don't know if you follow any of the Magic the Gathering stuff.
I do not.
There's a ton of stuff coming out. I mean, there's always something doing
right
with Magic the Gathering, which is sort of interesting. I've been following that a bit.
That path leads to ruin.
That path leads to spending.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah, man. Yeah, the other day I was looking at...
don't do it.
Magic the Gathering online. I didn't even go to the website or anything.
Yeah,
but,
good for you.
But listeners should know that... we have spent entirely too much money on digital Magic cards.
Oh, God damn it. I'm sure I still have unopened booster packs and shit in Magic.
Oh, Gathering. I'm sure I have stuff that I don't even
know. I probably couldn't even remember my login if my life depended on me, but...
I mean, that game has gone through so many iterations.
I know, right?
I don't even know if they have the cards that I had. I just don't know.
They're almost certainly not tournament legal, right?
You know, so. Oh, no. No way.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
So, yeah. I feel like there was some Halo-related thing.
Oh, yeah. There was a Halo Universe panel, which I thought was a Halo MMO, but it turns out it's just like, hey, come here and talk about all things Halo.
Right.
So, meh.
It's, you know. I mean, isn't that basically like the Harry Potter world?
Like Pottermore?
Pottermore, that's what I meant.
Kind of, but not really.
It was just a platform for all.
Yeah, well, I mean, Halo Waypoint it has been that, you know, kind of place for Halo news and announcements and things like that. But
meh,
yeah. Still not. I mean, still not going to play Halo the original, even if it is spiffed up for today.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't.
Yeah, I played it back in the day, and I'm pretty good with that.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Good to go.
You know what? There was a Resistance panel. I think that got some good stuff. But I've never really been interested in that game.
Yeah, not so much.
But other than that, seems like Comic-Con.
Comic-Con. So. Yeah, exactly.
PAX comes up before Gamescom or after? When is PAX?
No idea.
Gamescom?
No idea.
Also no idea. I feel like Gamescom is in August or something.
Could be.
Well, in any case, Gamescom is coming up, PAX, TGS, like,
yeah,
there's a ton more.
Yeah, TGS...
September or October.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
Man.
So.
I don't expect to see anything coming out of Gamescom, though. I mean, maybe some 1C announcements or some shit, but...
They'll probably have a lot of Battlefield coverage.
Yeah, maybe get some Battlefield and Modern Warfare 3. Although actually, they can't with the shit that happened in Oslo. They are fucked.
Oh man, you think?
Yeah, Gamescom's in Germany. Germany does not mess with that shit.
Yeah, definitely.
They will straight up shut that shit down.
Yeah.
Oh god, the fucking Modern Warfare and Battlefield guys must be shitting themselves.
That's definitely true.
Tragic.
Definitely. Maybe, I mean, they've been. I don't know. Since it is in Germany, there we may see some of the European developers showing stuff.
Yeah,
maybe like The Witcher for Xbox.
Yeah,
or The Secret World. I'd love to see more stuff about that.
Yeah, and there'll be a big PS3 presence because Sony has a huge PS3, you know,
European.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's we'll report about that on the episode 20 whatever that will be of the podcast. But I think that pretty much wraps it up for this week.
Yeah.
I'm Brian. You can catch me on Twitter at BrianWP.
You can find me at @Sominator.
Yep.
You can find us both at strgamer.codcast.com.
No.
No.
Blogspot.com.
You can't find anyone at that. You can find strgamer.blogspot.com, but you can email us.
You should email us.
Please email us.
Now you're just making it sound desperate. You make it sound like we've never gotten an email. Crickets.
strgamerpodcast.
Please!
@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes. Rate us on iTunes.
Yes. And we're going to go play Rock Band.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Good show.
See you next time.